All right, we're back. So another episode of Sacktown Talks. This week, I'm pleased to introduce to you Cambie Brown.
Hello.
Hello, Miss Cambie.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
You're a reporter with Good Day Sacramento.
Yes, I am.
That's right. You are also just a wonderful person in the short amount of time that I've met you. I've been enjoying talking to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I'm glad that we finally got you on, too.
I know. When I was talking to your wife and I was like, oh, you just got married. And then she said 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this has been like 2 months in the making.
No, you know, that's okay. It's hard to coordinate schedules. You know?
True.
I do a couple of these podcasts, and just let me take a moment for cross promotion here. For anyone out there listening, interested in mixed martial arts or Brazilian jiu-jitsu, I run another podcast called Life and Jiu-Jitsu, talking about the art, the journey, and the lifestyle. It's really just me grabbing like my martial arts buddies aside, and be like, hey, won't you talk to me on camera for an hour?
How often do you do that?
I do these both once a week.
No, but I mean, how often do you train for jiu-jitsu?
Right now, I'm kind of dialing it back, so I'm trying to lift weights and focus on lifting weights. So right now, I'm only doing it like 3 or 4 times a week.
Oh, okay. That's a lot. Does your wife do it too?
You know what? She is not particularly interested.
Okay, that's really good. So my granddaddy is like an avid golfer, loves golfing, and so my Grammy went to take lessons and like he bought her clubs, and then he realized, you know, it's not so great, like, if your wife also wants to golf with you because you need a break.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah,
that's over 50 years of marriage. So there you go.
Hey, I got 2 months.
You're doing good.
I've known her for 7 years. We've been married for 2 months.
What took you so long for those 7 years?
God, what did take us so long? You know, this is what I say about my wife and myself. She has seen me at my best and what I hope is my worst.
Okay, well, that's good.
You know? I think part of it was just sort of my own maturation process and sort of, as we spent, you know, we spent some time together, we spent some time apart, we always seemed to find each other again.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, to be perfectly honest, I just had to realize that this person like loved the heck out of me and that I had unconditional love with her. And that was sort of like something hard for me to like come to grips with, you know?
Yeah.
And, but once you kind of like let yourself be vulnerable to that, it's so incredibly rewarding, you know?
Well, good. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. I got to marry my best friend, and a lot of people get to do that.
Yeah.
So, I feel, you know, tremendously lucky to be able to say that. As far as sharing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu with her, you know, it's probably, she went a couple times. Now, you know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu is kind of like a form of wrestling almost.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah. I've seen it before.
Yeah.
I think growing up, I had a friend whose sister did it.
Oh,
and
very
so
cool.
We went to like a competition.
Very
once,
cool, yeah.
And it was intense.
Yeah, you're tangled in there with each other, you know. And she, you know, we do try to share as much as we can with each other. And so she decided to buy a uniform and sign up for a class and come to a class with me. And then afterwards, she's like, "Jabron, it's disgusting. I had a man's chest hair in my mouth." I was like, "Oh, baby, just wait until like you're like just wait until they're on top of you and a blob of sweat drips into your eyeball."
No.
You know, then you can complain to me.
That's disgusting.
It's completely disgusting. So now, here's something interesting for you.
Okay.
Every anthropologically unique culture has a form of wrestling.
Oh.
There's sumo. You know, there's also judo. The Irish have a form of galima, which is actually not too different than sumo. There's Mexican hay bale wrestling. There's folk style wrestling. There's Greco-Roman wrestling. I mean, ad nauseum, you get the picture.
Why do we have that?
It's a way for men to settle disputes without anybody dying.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, it's kind of, it creates, it sublimates violent tendencies, it creates a strong citizenry, and most importantly, people can kind of settle a dispute without anyone having to, like, really die.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. So, I've been doing jiu-jitsu for like 8 years now. When I first started doing jiu-jitsu, and, you know, this is just a note for anyone that listens to both podcasts. If you're wondering why you're not getting good at jiu-jitsu, you got to do it like 9 times a week.
Oh.
You know, for the first 3 years.
Oh, really?
Then you get like really, well, you know, I mean, to get like.
Is that what you did?
That's what I did for.
That's why you and your wife were on and off, because you were too committed to jiu-jitsu.
I was really committed to jiu-jitsu. Yeah. You know, you wonder like, how much do you give up for these hobbies? You know, other folks went out and got like law degrees and.
Yeah,
well. I just got really good at jiu-jitsu.
So I have a friend at work who, when he goes out with girls, he'll always ask them like what their hobbies are, and they're like, a lot of people don't have hobbies anymore.
It's really important.
It is, but people are like, they don't know what they do.
What do you do?
I would probably say like reading. I definitely, no working out for me. That's not my thing.
You're just.
Maybe later.
You're just.
Not, I have good genes.
You're just naturally right skinny.
Good yeah, for you. My whole family. So, but I feel like as I get older, like I'll need to get into it just for like healthy reasons.
If you had to pick a form of working out, what would it be? Like, is there one that you do here and there?
Well, yeah, I mean, I used to go to the gym. I don't know. I like classes. So I would do like spin
or, yeah,
like in my first TV market, I used to do, boxing a lot.
Oh, cool.
That was like really big there.
Was that Bakersfield?
No, Yuma.
Yuma.
Yeah. There was like a USFC fighter, that show, I think it's still on, where, people go and they like compete to be a UFC fighter.
Yeah, Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, Ultimate Fighter. So he was like on the first or second season, I think, and he won.
Okay.
And he kind of blew up and he trained out at that gym.
Oh, wow.
And so we used to go, me and another girl that I worked with, we used to go to that gym and we were like big supporters of him and whatever. I just actually recently looked him up because I was thinking, I wonder what happened to him. And this article was not very flattering. It said he kind of got a big ego.
Oh, and no. Who is this?
Yeah, his name's like Edgar or something. I should look it up so I can.
Yeah, take a minute to look it up. I'll keep blabbering here.
But yeah, it was, you know, I really identified with him because they grew up really poor, him and his friends.
Okay.
And so they were like so appreciative of just like any opportunity to like make money the hard old fashioned way, like working.
Like fighting.
Yeah. Yeah, so his name's Edgar Garcia. Yeah.
Oh,
he had a good record.
And so he blew up and kind of had a downfall.
Yeah. And I mean, after I moved, we didn't really talk to him anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that's no. You know, it's tough with those fighting guys. I recently interviewed a guy from my other podcast called Life in Jiu-Jitsu again. And he was a United States Olympic wrestler. He was the oldest wrestler to medal in the Olympics in United States history. So a month away from his 38th birthday when he won the Olympic bronze. And he, I was expecting it to be a little bit more of a kind of like an uplifting type of story. But if I'm going to be honest with you, it should be uplifting. He fought racism. He's a black guy to get on the mat. He fought like terrible, terrible injuries, got on the mat, had incredible talent. But, you know, now that ride is over, he, on the other side of it, he's a lawyer.
Oh, okay.
And he feels like he's just sat down at a desk job and nothing's quite as exciting as wrestling.
Yeah, I could see that.
And kind of like, I see a lot of that with the UFC fighters around town. You know, for folks that don't know, Sacramento is a big fight town. There's, you know, Uriah Faber's running a high level stable of fighters.
Yeah.
And there are like nomads, like Sacramento immigrants that just sell all their belongings. And they pile up, you know, three or four to a house. And
they come move out here and go fight with him, right?
Just go fight with him, you know? And I mean, he's made us several millionaires from the ground up to do that.
That's awesome.
But, you know, not all dogs go to heaven and not all fighters make it.
Yeah.
You know, and some of them do get, unfortunately, sort of like hijacked by their own ego, like you just said.
Yeah.
And aren't able to sort of stop partying after they put like an impressive string of victories together in order to like really discipline and really hone in on their training, you know?
Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing to watch. I've only jumped in to do like MMA fights. I did one MMA fight and one boxing match and, you know, I won them both, knock on wood, but I kind of knew looking at that lifestyle, I was like, wow, I don't think I could sustain this, you know?
Plus your ears get really messed up.
They do. They look like someone just chewed on them.
It is really crazy. And they never go back to normal. Like,
no. So you know what that is? The folds of your ears come apart. And if your body doesn't allow empty spaces, it fills it with fluid. And then that eventually calcifies. So what you have to do is as soon as you identify it, you have to stick a needle in there and drain it. Get it out.
Oh, but people don't do that.
No, people don't do that because you have like knucklehead, like MMA type of fighter guys and wrestler guys. And I have one buddy in particular who I'm thinking about when I say this. He says, you know, it makes me look tough. I'm gonna hope it grows.
Okay, to each his own.
Yeah, to each his own. But hey, you know what? So I was interested in talking to you Because you're kind of like you're just a very prominent face around Sacramento, and people recognize you.
I don't know about that.
I'm going to be honest. I'm just hoping to get kind of some of the social media rub from you. You know?
Then you should really get my other coworker, Kinsey, who just started at the station, and she has a ton of followers. Yeah. She should be your next guest.
Okay, yeah. Kinsey, if you're out there, if you want to come on the podcast, you are invited.
I'll put you in touch with her.
No, I'm serious. You were, I love Good Day Sacramento.
Thank you.
And I think you do a wonderful job. And when I first started the podcast, I said, I think I'm going to do a podcast for Sacramento's like movers and shakers. I said, wow, who can I have on this thing? And when I made my wish list of people to bring in, you know, Patrick was there, of course, right? You got to have Patrick.
Love him.
You know? And then you were kind of rounding out the top 10. I was like,
okay, yeah, I like it.
Yeah. So, and that's actually what's kind of cool. You asked me earlier why I decided to start doing this.
Yeah.
I had some time on my hands after leaving work, and I was like, you know, I think I'm gonna see if I can try and monetize this over time. You know, I always felt like I had the gift of gab, and I was like, really, I was raised by two reporters.
Okay.
You know, my mom and dad worked at Mexican Channel 12 in Tijuana.
Okay.
And, you know, he was on the assignment
desk. It's a dangerous place to work now.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It really is. And so they met, he was on the assignment desk and she was a reporter.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, they kind of taught me to always look for the story.
Yeah.
You know, and I felt like there was a lot of like, depth of character to the people in Sacramento. And sometimes you only get to see kind of this much of them.
Yeah.
You know, just a little bit. Because the format of traditional news media or like even radio, you got about 15 minutes and then you just kind of got to move on to the next thing. So I was kind of interested in doing like a deeper dive with folks like you and folks like Patrick.
That. It's weird because I've never done a podcast before and I'm used to asking the questions.
Yeah.
And so it like puts me in a different role than I'm not used to that.
Yeah.
You know, and people are always like, oh, like, can you give me the questions beforehand? And I always say, absolutely not. Because you fly by the seat of your pants. Like, everything, wittiness is so important. And you have to listen to your interview to be able to figure out where it's going to go from there. You know what I mean? And so it's like, sometimes, even if you were to ask,
you have
like,
to kind of make, you're kind of improvising is what I'm hearing.
Well, totally. But like, if you like looked at my bio or say something, because you're like preparing for the interview or whatever, and then you go from the bio to then asking questions, but if you don't listen to the whatever the person say, then it can't really advance.
Right, you'll say something like
won't be good.
If you have like a fixation on what you want to ask,
right,
you're not going to capitalize on the sort of serendipitous nature of life,
exactly.
Right? When they bring up like an interesting nugget,
yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is, the nugget. And like they'll say something, you're like, oh my gosh, like this is great to be able to use for the story.
Right, right. Like if someone just casually drops like breaking news on you.
Well,
you
yeah, no and idea. They don't, in their mind, it's just like part of them, so they don't think how big it is. But for me, I'm like, this is great.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
So do you have any, like, I don't know, examples of someone just dropping something remarkable on you like that, and you're like, oh my God,
or the
other one, where it's like, you just can't bring them to say something interesting for the life of you.
You know, I like to pride myself on the fact that I feel like I could get something out of everyone. Because that's what I'm paid to do, basically.
Yeah.
But I think the first thing that came to mind when I was saying this to you about somebody, you know, telling you something, and you're like, oh my gosh. I did this story on this guy, and he had just opened up his own jewelry business. And this woman was there, and I thought she was like his PR person, because she was just raving about him. And then she's like, yeah, this is my ex-husband.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, what? And so in the segment at the very end, you know, she's like being very like commercially like, you guys got to come down. Like, he's the best jeweler. And we don't usually when people are doing that, you kind of pull the mic from them because people don't relate to that. Right.
Yeah.
And people don't relate to that. So it's like she's doing that. And then I just interrupted her and I was like, by the way, you guys, this is his ex-wife. And if she is saying this much great things about him, like he actually must be a really good jeweler. Because, you know, it didn't work out with them, but clearly she still cares about him.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow, what a way to keep the relationship. Yeah.
So it was funny. She was interesting, that's for sure.
Like, oh my God, this is her ex-wife. It's his ex-wife.
Yeah.
This guy's a good guy. He's an honest guy.
Then later I was like, well, why didn't it work out? And they would never tell me. They're like, it just didn't work out. We were better as friends. I was like, okay.
Well, I got to tell you, that's one thing I can't really do is stay friends with exes.
Yeah, I don't agree with that either.
Right?
I'm not a fan.
What does that do to your, how does that make your new partner feel?
Well, my ex works at the station. Ooh. So I still have to see him. So when people tell you that you shouldn't date people that you work with, you should really listen to them. Although I told him if we broke up, he had to quit. And that was like almost 8 months ago.
And he's not quit. Mm-mm. He doesn't still think you're dating, does he?
No.
I'm just kidding. I was giving you a hard time.
No. But yeah, that is weird.
No. Perhaps other folks are. I'll concede that other people might be in better control of their emotions than I. Where, you know, maybe other people might be able to just totally compartmentalize that and be like, hey, good to see you. You
know? Well, I don't know, because I wouldn't want my boyfriend to be friends with his ex.
Yeah, right.
I think that would make me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I also have like a weird rule about like if you and I were friends, like your wife and I need to be friends too.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that's appropriate either.
Like intergender friendships once you're in a deeply committed relationship.
I just don't.
Like for you and I to go to the movies and then dinner.
That'd be weird. Well, I just don't think you don't want the person to have anything to worry about. And as the friend, it's my job to make sure that your wife or girlfriend would never be concerned.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
there's that was a Billy Graham. I think he calls it the Billy Graham rule. He says like, no, you know, married men, no, like you can't like no being alone with women whatsoever, you know. But that even bleeds into like the work context.
Well, that's horrible.
Yeah, that's too much.
That's like saying that you like don't trust yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But maybe you don't trust yourself. I mean, I don't know.
That's like an ultra. I don't actually subscribe to that rule. It's like almost like ultra conservative, you know. But it's an interesting. It's one of those interesting things where like people have like all this like wide spectrum of beliefs on this particular thing. You know. Yeah. A couple years ago, I was just kind of taking an informal poll. I asked my buddy, hey, what would you think about your girlfriend going to dinner with a male friend? And he texted me back, oh, I think it'd be fine if I trusted her. And I was like, huh, not what I was expecting to hear from you, but okay. And then it wasn't until like a year afterwards, he was like, hey, listen, Hannah was right next to me when she got that text message. And when I got that text message and she saw it, and she's like, well, and she kind of hijacked the conversation. She was like, he was like, I actually think that's, you know, maybe not the best idea.
Really? That's funny. Okay. I went to a Kings game with a guy friend of mine, and I text my boyfriend to be like, hey, like, just so you know, I'm going to the Kings game with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, is it a guy? And I was like, yeah, which I redid this text like 10 different times.
Oh, no.
Because my friend is gay.
Okay.
But I also didn't think that doesn't matter. Like, what does that matter? So why did I need to tell him? But then at the same time, I knew that the text, it sounded like I was trying to be shady about it.
Right. Or that it should include that he's gay.
Just to put that out of the way. I don't know. And I kept redoing the text. And finally, I was just like, whatever. I'm just going to say it's a friend. He'll ask who's the friend. And I'll explain.
How'd that go?
So,
how'd that go over?
Oh, yeah. It was fine.
Yeah.
I mean, but still, I think it's interesting that he was like, I knew that it was a guy based on how you worded the text.
Oh, yeah. No, we know.
You know?
We know.
So.
We know. We all know. And we also all know. This relationship stuff is, I think, super interesting. This might be my next podcast.
I know. That's what I was just about to say. You need that.
Relationship tips from the action. No, I'm not qualified to give relationship tips. But
it's something everyone has an opinion on.
No, for sure.
Which I love. And I love hearing people's opinion. On the weekend show, we do this thing, What Would You Do?
Okay.
And so we like come up with these
situations.
For the record, I'm saying we come up with these situations. I don't.
Okay.
Someone else, Tina Makua comes up with these situations and gives them. I'm trying to think what the last one was like about a Christmas party. Your wife and you both have a Christmas party. It's on the same day.
Oh.
Your work Christmas parties. What do you do?
Go ahead.
Well, people had some funny responses. Like, my husband's coworkers are a lot more fun than mine. So, like, I'd go with, you know, his. I'd show up at mine by myself and then go to his. So, it's just interesting to hear what people think.
In a previous lifetime, I was a teller at Wells Fargo.
Oh, yeah.
And I attended a Christmas party at the Santa Barbara, the Anacapa Street Wells Fargo branch for Santa Barbara in 2006. I attended a Christmas party for that branch that resulted in like three people getting fired.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah, I was just way too many people were overserved alcohol.
Oh no, that's not good.
Yeah, yeah. Like one guy in particular decided to have like about a half of a fifth of Jack Daniel's whiskey.
Oh geez.
And then tell the boss what he really thinks of him.
Ooh, well, that's not good.
Yeah,
yeah. Maybe that's why they don't do Christmas parties very much anymore.
Yeah.
A lot of companies don't do it.
Well, I've seen this particular one that I was at just like flew off the rails.
Yeah. Well, you know, those bank tellers, just people in finance in general, y'all crazy.
Yeah. The financial stuff is crazy.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
If my wife and I had a Christmas party, I would try and go to her. I would try and go to hers.
But you want her to go to yours too, right?
I wouldn't want her to go to mine. If we had to pick, I think I would try and go to hers.
Honestly. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. She has like more interest. She's a stem cell scientist. She works with more interesting people.
I know. She's crazy smart.
She's crazy smart.
She's like, I work at UC Davis. I'm like, oh, what do you do? Stem cell research. Like, you hear about that? I've never met anybody where they're like, this is legitimately what I do.
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Nolte, who there was the first episode for the podcast, is her boss.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I asked her what some of her career achievements were, and she was like, oh, yeah, I cured Bubble Boy's disease.
My gosh. And no, they just
casually drop
them. I know. People just say stuff like that's. I love humble people.
I haven't done shit.
So, you know what's so weird? When I hear you say that, I'm like, delay button. Because, like, you can't say bad words on TV.
Yeah. Isn't it liberating?
Yeah.
Kind of.
I mean, I don't know. I still feel uncomfortable because there's a microphone in front of me. But my mom is always like, my brother was in the Navy.
Uh-huh.
And she's always like, but my daughter has the mouth like a sailor. So it's weird. Like, I could speak like that in my normal life, but I would never, like, with a microphone, it's just weird.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if I could do it.
The podcast format is just, it's just different. It's liberating. I probably shouldn't have dropped the S-bomb, but.
There's a podcast. By the way, these girls are coming to Punchline.
Guys We Fucked?
Yes!
I love that podcast. I love those
podcast.
I love those girls.
Good. Christina, okay. Yeah. Yes. Okay, so they're coming in the end of January to Punchline.
Let's get some people together and I'll go.
Seriously, so Punchline is already advertising it because they're like, hey, we're probably going to get sold out.
They're super popular.
Yes. Oh. And I just went and saw Anthony Jeselnik and I had to go on a Thursday night because I couldn't get tickets for Friday night.
Oh my goodness.
And I like invited all these people and then I went to get tickets. I'm all, oh, sorry guys, nobody else is going.
They were just on the Joe Rogan podcast. I don't know if you
were
that.
They?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'll have to go listen.
Yeah, so Joe Rogan is one of my inspirations for this sort of this whole thing. He's a renaissance man. He's a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. He does the color commentating for the UFC.
Right.
He
used to do Fear Factor.
Yeah. He tells a story about why they had to stop doing it. It's super funny.
Is this about the watch?
No, it's about when they made people drink donkey piss.
Okay.
And they aired that. And then the TV executives were just like, you know what? That one was a little bit over. You guys went too far.
I watched something where somebody had a watch on and he was like counting the time himself and it like turned really bad. And when you go back and watch like part of the unedited, you can see the guy like with his watch. And after that, they had to ban people from like wearing their watches like during, I can't remember what, they were like eating something and you had to do it in a certain time and he had already finished or something like that. I don't remember all the details, but I remember that it was like how the show kind of progressed. Because you don't know something's going to be big until it's big. Yeah, and wasn't Fear Factor on like prime time? Like it was at a good time night.
It was at a great time. Yeah. It was really compelling TV.
Yeah, I feel like my family like sat down and watched that together for some reason.
Because it's super compelling.
Also disgusting.
Like, oh my God, is that totally wholesome girl from Minnesota going to eat the snails? I can't believe she could do that. Oh my gosh, she's going to do it. She's going to do it.
I'd be horrible.
You know, like there's something compelling in the contrast where they find like really like kind of wholesome looking people.
Yeah, who just will do whatever for money.
And they bring out the worst in them.
Yes, that's reality TV.
That's reality TV, right?
That was the beginning of it.
I know. Huh? We're so deep in the game now. Like we're like totally down the
I just wonder where it's gonna go from here.
You know where I think it's gonna go?
What I mean? Where?
I think.
Oh no.
I think Tony Hawk or like Stephen Curry
is
gonna put in like little like is going to wear like Snapchat glasses.
No, for the and you're game. Just going to like watch.
And you're going to be like, come into your virtual reality headset at 7 o'clock to watch the game from Stephen Curry's, you know.
Oh my gosh, I hate that. But so what would be the future like for my job? I'm going to wear those too.
Yeah, who knows?
I already feel like it's like I'm giving people too much anyway. Aren't they annoyed by it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You don't want to share. No, wait. Let me rephrase that. Sure, I share everything.
And we can cut this out if you want.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I'm like good. An open book about whatever.
I got the sense.
Okay. Yeah. And I will say it on air. Like, I have no shame. Like, this is my life, you know? I'm the same person on TV as I am off TV. Like, this is me. You know what I mean? So I have no problem sharing that. But also, like, I feel like when I'm posting and doing stuff like that, I'm thinking, like, am I really that interesting? Like, people must be like, what? Why can't be sharing so much? So I try and, like, refrain.
No, I think that. Know? Honestly, I think that's the one thing that like local news does really well that sets itself apart, even from like local news, like on TV, as opposed to like what you get on the radio.
Yeah.
You do kind of get a sense that you're sort of like empathizing in a humanistic way with the hosts and the reporters who are, you know, will maybe offer just a quick one line of commentary or a quick reflection and in that way deliver it to you in a way that is more easily digestible to you because you kind of, received it from a person who's sort of also reflecting on it with you.
Yeah, it's funny how much people remember about you. Like, you just, like, casually say something, and then later people are like, oh, hey. You know, like, they'll either email or you'll, like, see them out and they want to know about it.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, I haven't been recognized in Sacramento for Sacktown Talks yet. You know.
It'll happen.
I hope. I mean, you hope so, right? Because then it'll be, like, an effective...
Yeah, it means that it's getting out there.
It means that it's getting out there. I think it's doing all right, but I got to tell you, I don't know what all right is because I've not done this before, you know.
Okay.
But I think it's doing all right. But I'm starting to pick up some recognition on the jiu-jitsu podcast.
Oh, okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, when I go work out at one of the things that I like to do is just go and drop into other gyms.
Oh my gosh, like when you're on vacation.
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of the
like how firefighters are. Okay, so my stepdad is a firefighter. Well, I guess my former stepdad, I don't know, him and my mom got divorced. So anyway.
Do you still keep in touch with him? What's that like?
No.
No.
He kind of did my mom dirty. Can we get to that in a second?
Yeah.
This is like therapy.
No, this is
good. So Sal, anyway, we were on vacation in Hawaii. Okay. What do you want to do when you're on vacation in Hawaii? You don't want to go to a fire station. Like, I don't want to see a fire station in Hawaii. Just so you know, fire stations everywhere across America look the same.
I'll bet.
Okay. I'll bet. It's boring. But he had a shirt and he wanted to exchange a shirt with the firefighters. We rented a Jeep and we must have spent like 2.5 hours there.
Oh my goodness.
I was.
Just shooting the breeze.
Yes. And it's like, what am I supposed to talk to the firefighters about? I'm like, hey, this is cool. You live in Hawaii. I wish I was at the beach right now. You know?
Can't you just let him go do his thing?
He should have done it in the morning. He should have woke up early, go to the fire station without us, and then take care of it.
Haley and I just recently got back from Oahu.
Oh, was that where your honeymoon was?
Our honeymoon was we've done quite a bit of traveling. Our honeymoon was an East Coast tour.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah, we're from Portland, Maine down to Orlando, Florida.
Okay, that's cool.
We visited three state capitals on the way down.
Oh yeah, I remember you said that.
Yeah. But no, we went to Oahu just cause and.
Just cause like recently?
Yeah.
Like last month or what?
August.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
Okay. So before you guys got married.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We knew we were going to get married. I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, I'm assuming you knew you were going to get married.
Yeah, yeah.
You already had a date set, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But no, you know, we just went to go. Honestly, you know, we kind of put it together quickly and we just went. I'd never been, so she wanted to share that with me.
Yeah. Now you have to go to like the other islands. Yeah. That's what I hear from everyone. I've only ever been to Oahu too.
It's so nice. It's so bucolic. You know, I hate the humidity, but she says it's good for her skin, so she likes it.
Yeah.
But I wanted to find a BJJ school out there, but I couldn't make a fit with the schedule. But she was like, really, with the BJJ?
No, that's what I would be too.
That's a great thing about her, though. She's like, you know, if you want to, you go. I'll find something else to do.
Yeah. See, but you didn't drag her along.
No.
Sal dragged my family along with him to go to the fire station.
And then he did your mama dirty.
Yeah.
What did he do?
So
was Sal a cheater?
He sort of.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so my mom, like, just so you know, is, like, the greatest woman alive. Does everyone think that about their mom?
You know, I think so, mostly.
I mean, I hope they do. I would hope they do. But some people are like, my mom is crazy. My mom is crazy, but only I can say she's crazy. Yeah. Like, nobody, and my brother, he can say she's crazy, too. No one else can say that. It's like a family thing, you know? But, yeah, so Sal was in Iraq And my mom found that his ex-girlfriend was, like, messaging him, like, sending him letters and, like,
pictures,
nasty things. Oh, no. So, anyway, so after that, I was like, I'm done with you. And yeah. My mom and him still stayed together a little bit afterwards because I don't know, like, how much proof. It's hard to remember because it's like, you know, your brain kind of just like shuts things down because it's like you don't want to remember.
Blur out
because
it was just
hard time for my mom. But yeah, so my thing was, I'm like, Mom, would you want me to be in a relationship with a guy
right
like that? And
right,
so,
right.
Like,
what would you want for your daughter?
Yeah.
Now
I'm like putting
yourself.
My mom's business out there.
That's okay. We can,
No. You should never edit anything.
That's my philosophy, but you know,
you should never do that because this is the thing. You should tell people beforehand, like, I am not going to edit this. And here's why. Because a lot of times when we do segments, oh my gosh, one time in Bakersfield, I had someone and I was interviewing them, boop, boop, you know, you have the microphone back and forth. And then he answered something and he kind of stumbled and he was like, oh, let's go back. I need to redo that. And I was sir, this is live, so we can't redo it, but you're doing fine. Or we had somebody on air one time and they're like, I can't do this. It's like, you're doing it. We gotta move on. Yeah, it's live.
Yeah.
You know, so I think if you tell people that you'll edit it or like take something out, it like takes away from it.
I agree.
You know,
I
this
agree.
Is your this is my authentic self. Look, that part of the story is part of my life too, even though it's like my mom's mainly my mom's story.
But it's like but it's like, hey, that happened. And that also shapes who I am and how I see things.
Totally.
You know, I just didn't I'm struggling with that, you know. I'll relate this to the jiu-jitsu podcast. I can just get my buddies to come on because they know me.
Yeah.
But for this particular podcast, you know, folks don't, when I first started, don't know me yet, right?
Yeah.
And so you're kind of trying to be like very, almost like sycophantic. Like, listen, I'll edit it, anything you want, I'll let it out. I'll do this, I'll do that. Kind of jumping through hoops. And no one's ever asked me to edit anything. But
that's
so I got to stop.
Yeah, offering. I think I wouldn't even throw it out there. I would have never assumed coming on here that you would like edit anything.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's okay. The only thing that I do is I have that second camera going, and that one's on you.
This camera is on me.
Yeah, that phone, my phone.
Oh, okay.
This one's on us, and that one's on you. So,
So
when you're talking, when you're going off on a good one, I'll just use the one that's on you.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, that's the only editing.
And then you just mirror.
Yeah.
The audio with
the video. Yeah.
Wow, that is. How long does that take you to do?
Longer than I'd like it to.
Yeah, that's very difficult.
Longer
to do.
Than I'd like it to. Yeah.
I'm wondering.
But it makes it look better.
Yeah, but if you had like an audio marker on that, do you?
I do.
Okay, so that makes it easier. So you can kind of time it up.
You can definitely time it up. You still have to sort of mess with it every time you want to do it. But
yeah. Otherwise, I'm going to look like those anime. You know?
Yeah, no, I'm getting better at it too. So what you do is you sort of like clip them both to like an hour in length exactly. And you have them start and end at the exact same time.
That's smart.
And then you're just like, 7 minutes to 8.5. Cambie's on a good one about Sal.
Yeah.
I'm going to zoom in on her face.
Dude, you have a good memory.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you just kind of do it like that. And it's a lot easier, you know?
Yeah.
But, the whole podcast production thing has been a lot more like time consuming than I thought it would be.
Oh, I'm sure.
But, also just really, really fulfilling in an odd way. It's all, you know, people talk about bagging peaks. Like, oh, I got, you know, I wanted to get up Rainier. Now I got up Rainier. I wanted to get up Shasta. Now I got up Shasta. I kind of feel like that way, but like with people. And I mean that in a non-serial killer way. But like, I wonder if I can get Patrick on. Oh, I got Patrick on. Oh, I wonder if I get Cambia.
You should go Cambia for the on. Guys We Podcast, girls. You should get them on.
I'd love to get them on when they're in town. I'd see if I can get
them
on.
Okay, so my friend Roger, there was like some comedy thing in Vegas.
Those girls are like radical.
No, he said they're so nice and so down to earth and they were just like super cool. And he met them and they're like, hey, we have to go. It was almost like a comedy bar crawl type thing.
Mm.
And they were like, hey, we have to go to the next place, but can you meet us there so we can get the picture?
Oh,
and
cool.
He was like, okay. And he was like, you know, going over there thinking this is not going to happen. And then it did. They totally saw him and they're like, hey, come over here for a picture.
That is so cool.
So that's like nice, humble people who appreciate their listeners.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think it's, you know, for folks that don't know the podcast that we're listening to, Guys We Fucked with, Christina Hutchinson and.
I know. Why can't I think of the other girl's name?
Yeah. I feel like the other girl's kind of like overshadowed by Christina Hutchinson.
Well, wait, Christina's not the one that has a boyfriend. No, they both have boyfriends now.
Yeah.
But for a long time, one of them was single.
Yeah,
the and other like worked one was, at a spa.
That's right. That's the other one. Christina has, I think, a longer term boyfriend.
Okay.
They love to do threesomes. She's like,
oh yes, that's right.
Totally. Yeah. She's like watching her boyfriend do things to other girls, and she loves it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the for folks listening. That's the premise of the podcast is that she's taking behaviors that are like previously that you know are still taboo.
Yeah.
And she's celebrating them. Be like, hey, this is part of who I am.
Yeah.
And I'm not to be looked down upon for my sexuality. And yeah. I think there's a lot of like...
Well, you can't knock it. You've only been married 2 months. I mean, wait till you're married 20 years. You might be like, hey, your wife might be like, hey
we got to do something.
Yeah. I mean, it happens, right?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, no, you know, the greatest gift, I think, the most enduring gift of the LGBT movement will be the liberalization of our sexual values.
Okay, I was really worried this was going down a different path. not about the LGBT, but when you were like, the greatest movement or whatever, it's like, where is this going?
No,
you're like, it's threesomes for everybody. Everybody, yes, just bring your neighbor in. It's fine.
No,
your relationship can handle it.
No, I think that the you know, like what the LGBT movement does, like with the Folsom Street Fair and like what they do with like the gay pride parades, they bring out the leather contingent, they bring out the, you know, the dykes on bikes. And
yeah.
They've kind of like forced everyone to like examine those and like just kind of like kind of put it in people's face. And I think that's okay. It's like, yeah, these are all different aspects of sexuality and that's
no,
okay.
Totally.
Like, let's all take a big chill pill and yeah. just like accept that there's all these different things out there. And you know, maybe some of them will seem interesting to you. You
yeah.
know?
I think my weird thing about, just like people in general. First of all, I feel like a lot of people are like socially awkward. Do you
yeah.
feel like that too?
Oh yeah.
And on top of that, a lot of people aren't their authentic selves.
Absolutely.
Like they don't want to admit to themselves like what they like or what they're into. And when you can just be honest with yourself, you can be honest with everyone. And then you don't really care if people like you or not. Like,
absolutely.
This is who I am and I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope other people accept it too, which is what you're saying, like with the LGBT community. They're just like, this is who I am.
Yeah.
And this is what I want to do. And, you know, I'm okay with it. I hope you're okay with it too.
Yeah. What a giant dose of healthy for everyone else.
No, seriously.
Know? Like it's, and I think that what Christina Hutchinson and her host,
we have
her
to co-host look, we are have doing. We have to look her up. I feel so bad.
Yeah. But what they're doing is kind of doing something like that too. They're just sort of doing like a collective sort of like, hey, let's talk about these things. And, you know, you might look down on me if you want, if that's who you are, but, or you might celebrate it and take a big, you know, and laugh along at it with me too. Cause it's part of my human experience.
Do you have, Xfinity?
It's a Jabron Wi-Fi.
Well, somebody, I'm like trying to get on someone's Wi-Fi. So it's taking me a second.
You want me to look it up here real quick?
I can find it on Punchline probably actually. Yeah. Because they tag them in this. Philanthropy Girl. Corinne,
that's right. Yes. She, Philanthropy Girl on Instagram.
Yes.
Corinne Fisher.
Yes. She has an interesting picture.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
Oh, my goodness. Christina Hutchinson is
she also
really...
has, like, a big bruise on her butt. I kind of want to, like, send her a comment and be like, what is with...
What happened to
you? Oh, you know what? She doesn't let anybody comment.
That's right, because it got too negative.
Oh, really? Oh, that's rude. But yeah, it's like, I just want to ask, like, hey, how'd you get that bruise on your butt?
It's a story, I'll bet.
I'm sure. But I can't.
So, hey, you said you wanted to see the wedding pictures. Do you want to take a look at
them real
quick? Okay, here, I'm going to pull them up. And what I'll do for
you. Are girls so weird about this stuff?
Yeah.
We, like, love it. Oh, my gosh. Are you gonna move this over?
Yeah, I'll just do this.
Oh, okay, non-traditional.
Does that
like
work
it.
For you? No, so we did it on the beach in San Diego. So
yeah, I love that.
But
I mean, what you're wearing is like non-traditional. That's right?
That's me.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's me.
That would be weird if you had a picture of someone else like grabbing on your wife's hand.
Stand-in. I mean, yeah. No, so we met like a year before. Let me rephrase. We met like a week before I would move down to San Diego for a year to accept the job assignment there.
Oh, okay. And you guys met through friends.
We met through friends. My buddy was trying to get a date. My buddy Danny Torres was trying to get a date with her friend Valek.
Okay.
And
what's your friend's name? Valek?
Valek.
I love that name. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like interesting names.
Great friend. Great. Yeah.
Did they get together?
You know, I did. They're both very circumspect. Okay. You wouldn't be able to pull it out of them.
So they're like not married now or anything?
No, okay. No. But so he was like, hey, won't you come with me to this party? And I was like, sure. And we
needed
like,
a wingman.
Yeah, he needed a wingman. And as soon as we walked in the door, like, her and I locked eyes, you know, and then the rest is history. She was being stalked by, like, this really aggressive guy that whole night.
Oh.
Charles or Chucky or something.
Uh-huh. And he's probably listening to this.
I hope so, you know. I hope he's a fan. I need every listener I can get. But he just wouldn't leave her side. You know, he just wouldn't stop the whole night. Yeah, the whole night.
Oh, no. Did she know him beforehand? Or he also locked eyes with her?
He thought he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I kind of bowed out of it. I didn't want to get into a pissing contest, you know. Yeah.
You should have used those jujitsu moves.
That's what I was afraid is that I would get drunk and do that, you know. I don't do that. So I just kind of we exchanged numbers and I was like, all right, I'm gonna call up and I'll see you guys. You guys have fun. I didn't want to, you know.
Yeah. You didn't get her number or anything.
Yeah. No, I got a number, or she gave me hers or something.
So he like went to the bathroom.
Yeah, something like it like took 1 second. Yeah. But it was really, he was really aggressive. So I went to Uncle Vito's to get a slice of pizza around midnight. And she texts me, she's like, hey, where are you? Like, I was like, oh, I went to Vito's to get a pizza. And she's like, oh, I'm hungry too. I'll meet you. And I was like, okay, yeah, cool, whatever. Cause I'm thinking she's out of my league.
Yeah.
You know? So
she was being the aggressive one. I like it.
So you know how Vito's like closes the door and doesn't let people in after they've like sold all their pizza or whatever?
Yes.
And so I'm like the last guy to get in for pizza.
Did you get her a slice?
No.
No!
I didn't get her. And she just knocked on the door. She's like, hey, I'm here.
Oh, no.
And I was like, sorry, they're out of pizza. I guess I'll see you around. Because I just had no idea that she liked me. I had no idea that she could like me. And I'm really possessive about my pizza. I was not going to spend that. Especially for a girl that I didn't think liked me, you know.
Yeah, you're like, I don't want to share this.
Yeah, it's like, that's all I have to offer is that one slice of pizza. I'm not just gonna give it up.
So what happened?
We hung out a couple times, but I just accepted a job offer to be a field representative.
So after the pizza, she's like standing out there, you're on the inside, hi, and then she just walks away.
Basically, yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is like a cartoon, and she's like,
I literally had no idea. I literally had no idea that she could like
me. So then did you like get in touch with her?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like afterwards? Okay. Can I just say something?
Sure.
This is a great story. And we don't have these types of stories anymore. Like, mm-hmm. Is it swiping right or swiping left? Which one's the one you like the
person? Right is on Tinder, I think. And then
see, we don't know because we don't do this.
Yeah, we don't do this.
But whatever. It's like I swiped whatever way. And then now...
And on the third day, we're related.
Well, no, but it's like, and now we're dating, and then we're getting married. There's not like those stories.
Yeah.
You know? And a lot of people say online dating is like not the way to go. Actually, my friend is reading some like relationship book.
Yeah.
Okay, have you heard about that New York Times thing, 36 Questions to Fall in Love?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So that same girl who, she didn't write these 36 questions. She came across them, wrote an article for the New York Times, and it exploded. Like nice. 40 million views.
Nice.
And then all of a sudden she's like, oh my gosh, like I had no idea this was going to explode. And her and that guy are still together, by the way.
Oh,
her
cool.
and the friend that did those questions and really ended up falling in love, I guess. And so she did like a TED talk, and then she wrote a book, and it's like essays. And so my friend is reading it, and I think it's the same premise, like How to Fall in Love. Don't let that be the only wedding picture you show me, by the way.
No, there's more.
Okay, good. Okay, and so anyway, and so my friend screenshotted something, and one of the things said, oh my gosh, that's beautiful.
Isn't that gorgeous?
You need to put that on like a canvas.
Yeah, we're gonna.
Okay, good. So anyway, she screenshotted or like took a picture of the book and sent it to me, and it said that couples who meet through friends tend to last because your friends are supportive of their relationship.
Right.
So they're like encouraging instead of like when someone texts you like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he did this. And they're like, I hate him. Like I've hated him forever.
Good.
You know?
Get
yeah,
rid of him.
Exactly. So when you meet through friends, it's better.
I also think that online dating has like another like pernicious side effect in that you sort of increase the rate at which we're self-sorting.
Oh, yeah.
And sort of it makes you reflect on what you want.
Yeah.
Right? I want someone who's in the same social, ethno, cultural enclave that I am in as well.
Yeah, but see, you know what? I feel like you have to throw all of that out because nothing beats chemistry, but you can't tell chemistry on an app or whatever is like matched. Are they even on an app anymore? And I don't even know.
Yeah.
But when I first was single, everyone was like, you should go on Bumble.
Right.
And I was like, okay. And I was on it for a day.
It's going to be hard for like a local celebrity like you to.
No.
No, it's true.
But I just didn't like it. And the more I thought about it, I was like, you know what? Truth be told, I'm not going to meet up with any of these people. Even if I think like this person is so amazing, it just.
You're just like, I don't want to.
I just don't.
I don't want to. Yeah.
It makes me nervous. It makes me uncomfortable. And also, I feel like when I. Okay, my job is to interview people, right?
Right, right.
So I have had first dates where I'm like, that was not a good date at all. And the guy's like, that was great. I'm like, yeah, of course it was great for you because I asked you questions the whole time. It was like an interview.
All you did was talk.
Exactly. Yeah. But people do like that when, you know, they say when people walk away from like talking with someone and they talked mainly about themselves.
They're like, got the warm fuzzies.
Yeah, they're like, I really like her. But really, it's because they talked about themselves.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's like, they're so, like, how much I like myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like the how you met stories. I love those stories. Yeah. And we just don't, you know, not everyone's going to have that anymore. Like my grandparents. My Grammy tells a story of the prince who was working on his car next door. And she would send her little brother to go, you know, talk to him and see what he was doing because she thought he was so handsome.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's like those stories don't.
Yeah, we're not getting those.
We don't always have anymore. Them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're also just like finding people that like match on paper and like, oh, I don't know, this girl is looks like a yoga loving hippie type. I'm not in the market for a hippie type.
Yeah, left, which is weird.
Which is weird. It's like you kind of like start putting people into like those little boxes, or right?
Stereotyping them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Let me tell you something really funny about these apps.
Yeah.
So there's one that like shows you mutual friends that you have in common.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
One of my friends was like, everybody's friends with Patrick. Like Patrick would be the mutual friend for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Which is funny.
No, that guy
he, like,
is.
He knows so many people.
That guy's just a social butterfly.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. So my new thing, when I find out people are single, I always like keep this in the back of my head. So then if I meet someone else and they're single, I can be like, hey.
A little matchmaker.
Yeah.
Shoot Cupid's arrow at
That's
you.
That's what I try. Quick. Yeah. Because you just don't know.
You don't know.
So, and then also they get like a great story instead of like I swiped.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So this picture, let me tell you something about this wedding. If you do it, it's San Diego County. If you have less than 20 people, you don't need a permit.
Oh, that's nice. So, also, nobody should get married in San Diego. Everyone should get married in Sacramento and keep their money here locally. But I digress. Go ahead.
Well, you know, this had special, well, this had special
your,
meaning
your
for us. Yeah.
Lives there, right?
My family lives there, yeah. So what we did
you
was...
You couldn't invite all of them.
No.
It had to be less than 20 people, right? Well, your aunts and uncles, man.
A good portion of my family can't get across the border.
Oh, okay. Well, so, perfect.
Yeah.
So you're like, I'll send you pictures.
Yeah.
That actually kind of works out in your favor.
Yeah. So it was like 10 people. It was like 10 people from my side of the family and her side of the family.
Yeah.
We stood in a circle. We didn't rent any furniture. We rented a condo on the beach.
Oh, that's cool.
And then we just kind of held the open reception as people trickled in from wherever. And then we kind of left to go take the pictures, came back. People were still trickling in. We're just kind of having mimosas and hanging out. And
then we
walked down and did the wedding.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. I like that it's casual.
Super. We didn't want a big wedding. We went to one wedding this year. Like they didn't even look like they were having fun. They were so stressed out about.
Oh really?
Yeah.
A lot of people do. That. It's for a lot of people's weddings are for their parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I know my family would be. And I have a small family. Just my mom and my brother and my grandparents. I have a great aunt too. But anyway, they would be upset if I was just like, hey, like I come back like from vacation,
from
like
courthouse.
I got married. And they'd be like, you took something away from us.
Yeah.
You know? So not that they would want like a huge wedding, but I feel like they would think I took something away.
I honestly just wanted to go. I wanted to go do it like at San Francisco City Hall or like.
Oh my
at
gosh,
the
San Francisco City Hall is so beautiful.
It's so beautiful. I think that's the most beautiful building we have in the state.
It is beautiful.
It's amazing. Yeah. So but she's, you know, she you know, Haley's just so patient with me. She was like, you know,
well, yeah, she's patient. She waited, 7 years.
Yeah. But she's like, you know, your parents would be upset if we did that.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, well, we should do something small. Here, let me show you one more.
Well, how'd you propose to her? Is this a good story? So it's okay if it's not, because some people are like, and I rented an airplane, and
no.
Skyrocketed.
I kind of think that shit's cheesy. I kind of think that stuff is cheesy, honestly. Yeah. We'd gone to six or seven weddings this year, and the last one that we went to, like, the people just didn't look like they were having any fun. It was just like this big elaborate production. Like it was kind of like, I don't know. And I just kind of leaned over in the chair door and I was like, hey, do you want to just do this and not do any of this? And she was like, yeah. And that's kind of just when we decided.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Yeah, so did you have a ring already or no?
No, we went out and we picked them out the next day. And
get out the next day after that wedding?
Yeah.
You have like those people's miserable faces at the wedding to thank for you being married right now.
Kind of.
Yeah. That is awesome.
Yeah, it was a three-week engagement. It was a three-week engagement. It was a, well, when she moved in like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
She kind of put her foot down. I'm so glad she did. But she was like, all right, like it's time to put up her shirt.
That happens. You know? Because men, they don't want to like
it's true. It's not our instinct too. You know?
But I also don't like to be that girl either. But she'd also been with you for like almost 7 years. So
yeah, well, you know, and then 30 hit me kind of hard. I was like, what are you gonna do? You're gonna be a player forever? You don't want to do that. You don't want to wind up like that. You know, like you're not gonna meet like, I'm not, like you're not gonna do any better than her. She's amazing. She's your best friend. And so I kind of had to just reflect on the fact that. I think my therapist was saying something like that. There's like in the mind of hunter gatherers, you're kind of like genetically bred to be always a little bit miserable. So you go out and accumulate more.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's like, oh, like, and you kind of have to make peace with that.
So what was your accumulating more? You felt like you weren't stable enough to.
Or like if you get married, then that signals like you're kind of done with that portion of your life and you have to like, you know, settle, you have to be old now and settle down, you know? And I kind of like a lot of it for me was like, not wanting to feel old because marriage is an old person thing, you know?
Yeah, that's funny because I see people like who have kids and they're like my same age and I'm just like, you're so old. But they're my same
age. Yeah, and the whole thing feels just, adult, right?
Yeah, that's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
Like a little person's life
is
in your hands.
Yeah, so crazy.
But also so beautiful too.
It is really beautiful. It's done.
You guys want kids?
We'll see. I want to be married and traveling the world with my new wife for like 3 to 5 years before I even think about that. Yeah. I mean, I don't have the, you know,
but men don't get that.
Yeah.
Do they? I don't know.
I know I want kids at some point for sure.
Yeah. I have some friends where I'm like, I really want these people to be dads because they'll be like so good. There's like not a lot of great dads.
You know what I want to, you know what I really want? I want to teach my boy to wrestle.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
What if you have no boys? You can have girl wrestlers.
They can wrestle.
Actually,
too.
My brother used to wrestle when he was in, was it his first year in high school or maybe middle school? Anyway, a girl beat him and he was like, I'm done.
A lot of times girls are stronger at that age.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they're like, you know, at 12 or 13, girl solidly into puberty.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. I never thought of that. My brother was very tiny too. We're all tall and thin.
No, so the girls are like this. Yeah, they're like the scourges of the lower weight classes.
Oh my god!
Especially like in middle school, forget about it. Of course, the girls are gonna win.
He was embarrassed.
No, I mean there's nothing to be embarrassed about. Like their bones harden, their shoulders get wider, their hands get bigger. Of course, they're gonna win the match. Oh my gosh, you know,
I'll have to tell
him. I feel like it's really not until like 15.
Oh, really? that the boys
start really taking off. You know,
yeah.
And then it's also like really sports specific too, you know, because like tennis, I mean, girls can play tennis. I mean, you know, and then like sports with like fast cutting, like basketball.
Yeah.
Maybe boys take over a little bit sooner. Fighting has been really interesting to watch, like UFC.
Oh yeah.
Those girls can fight every bit as well as the men can, you know, like when the UFC.
I know, it's crazy because remember they didn't used to get like the main event.
No, they didn't. No.
And then now that's like becoming.
I didn't.
Or like WWE.
Yeah.
The Total Divas. I mean, it's like a whole new thing.
I was really surprised, like, how quickly the talent pool has progressed in the women's fighting divisions.
Yeah.
Because it typically just takes like 7 years to build a competent stable of fighters. And the women seem to have done it in 3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, good for them.
Good for them.
They're fast learners.
They are fast learners. All right, let me show you one more picture.
Okay. Oh, that's cute. Where is that?
This is a little restaurant in the Little Italy district of San Diego.
Oh, that's cute.
Called El Camino. And when she would come down and visit me in San Diego, we would go and have, you know, margaritas.
Oh, yeah, because you did your first year, like, long distance.
Yeah, yeah. And the cool thing about this is that their outside patio is 4 walls but no ceiling.
Oh.
And it's directly underneath the flight path of the arriving airplanes.
Oh, that's cool. So they like fly over.
Yeah, like 100 feet over.
They fly
like 100 to 100 feet over.
And so you can just look up and there they are.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And so after we after we did the ceremony, we all kind of Ubered over to the patio, which we kind of had to ourselves. And we had like dinner with like 20 or 25 people at that point. And then we split it five ways. It was totally casual. It was like an hour. Then like we kind of like introduced everybody to each other. And so, cause like parts of my family had been in Mexico.
Yeah.
Hadn't met parts of her family yet. So we kind of introduced folks. And this is on the outside of the restaurant. We were leaving. We were going to go. We were going to take the adults and some of her friends and some of my friends out to a few drinks afterwards. And these chairs were lined up on the curb outside. And I was like, hey, wait, this might make a good picture. Let's all like jump on these
chairs.
Did
you have a photographer or you just had someone like take it on their phone?
This was just someone on their phone.
Yeah, I love it.
But my my mom's husband is a photographer for the Union Tribune for like 30 years.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, he sort of knows what he's doing. You know, I kind of just had to like sit there. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh. Well, how fun. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hey, where's the next place you're traveling to?
We're going to Croatia for Yacht Week next
year. Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah. So they do a, is that the Mediterranean Sea Croatia's on? I have no idea, but
you should ask me anything about geography.
Yeah, it's on a really beautiful.
I mean, it sounds right. It sounds right.
Yeah. And so they do this like route where they take you up and down the coast. And it's like you, on your yacht and like a group of like 100 other yachts.
Oh, okay.
And you kind of all like travel the same route for
a
week.
You guys like rent a yacht or you get on someone's yacht or how's that work?
You rent a yacht.
Okay.
You
and her and then some other people or you just have your own
yacht? Yeah, we're putting together a group of like 10 friends.
Okay. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's like 100 other yachts on the same route. And after you guys have done like your traveling for the day, which is not, you know, it's not very much. You kind of all kind of moor together, like in a big circle.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
Just, you pull out the floaties and you just sort of like hang out. When is this? It's July. It's the last week in July of next year.
Well, I'm available if you can't get 10 people.
Do you want to come? We're looking for people.
I would seriously love to come.
We are looking for people.
Okay, well, you'll have to email me the details.
Okay, okay.
So I can
start
saving my money.
The Croatian government, this is an interesting thing. The Croatian government makes you travel with an equal amount of women and men.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we're going to do 10 people to the yacht.
Okay.
There has to be 5 women and 5 men.
Why do they do that?
Because they don't want their country turning into a sausage party.
Mm, well, okay.
Yeah. It's actually been really hard to get the men to commit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Men are just really fickle.
Men are just not good at commitment.
Well, this one is. You hear that, honey? This one is.
You're already married, so nobody cares if you care about commitment because you're boy now. Attached.
I'm a good boy.
So...
Hey, so I briefly take us through your career because I know you've done a lot.
Oh my gosh, this has been so fun because we've just been like
shooting the shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait. First of all, how do you monitor like how long this is going to be?
Oh, it's on.
Are you just like, oh my gosh, will this girl stop talking? Like this is horrible.
No, we're good. We're at 57 minutes.
Is that good?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I had one go. I did Dr. Linda Katechi.
Uh huh. Yeah.
We went for an hour and a half.
Oh, geez.
But that was more like a straight up interview.
Okay.
You know, I mean, everything she's been through.
Right.
But, you know, it's the beauty of the podcast format is.
Yeah, you can go for however long.
You just can go
but for. Also, is there like a time where people are just like, I'm over this?
No. People have been doing a pretty good job of watching the whole way through.
Oh, actually. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, sorry if you're like, oh my God, just tell me really quick about your career. Okay.
You know what? The way it works, I think, is you just kind of. If you've had your fill for the day, ideally you just come back and you listen to the next 10 minutes when you get it, or you put it in a car ride. And
well, I watched Patrick and in your interview in just one sitting.
Yeah.
And I was like laughing. It's nice when you know the person.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, oh my gosh. And his book title, 40,000 Vodka
Sodas. Is he really writing that?
No, but he should.
He should, yeah.
He really should. He's so talented at his job. Okay, so really quick, born and raised here. Went to college at Sac State. Initially thought I wanted to be a teacher. Wait, first I wanted to be a social worker. Then I wanted to be a teacher. Then I worked at a preschool and I was like, I cannot stand the parents because they like expected me to teach their child everything. And I was like, no, what are you doing? Like the parent needs to be more involved. And I just didn't like that. I just felt like as a teacher, it'd be too much pressure. And so I worked at a job where I had a boss who was like, the only thing that prevents you from doing what you want to do is your mind. And so I started thinking, well, what does my mind say I want to do, but I tell myself I can't. And I was like, I want to work for Good Day Sacramento. So I told my friend, she jumped online. She's like, oh my gosh, like you could get an internship. I was like, okay. And so I talked to my professor, and I got this internship at Good Day. And my professor was like, look, when you go in there, you cannot say, I want to be a reporter. Everybody wants to be a reporter. They're trying to find other people. Mm. He's like, so you need to go in there and say you want to do something else. And I was like, okay, which I did. So I told him I wanted to be a producer. I had no idea what a producer even did. So like, why do you want to do that? I'm like, I don't know. So anyway, so I got the internship. I was working at Roxy, the restaurant. And I was also working at a tanning salon too. I had like several jobs. And then also,
you're just holding it together until you made it.
Like, well, and so I was in school. And then also I was working there. So I would get done at Roxy like 1 a.m. I'd go home, shower, change, go into the station. And they didn't pay me. This is back before you didn't have to pay interns. Now there's laws for that. But yeah, so you weren't getting paid. And so I was thinking, you know what? If I am doing this job with no sleep, not getting paid, like I must love it. Like this has to be for me. So you put together like a fake resume tape, basically pretending like you're doing the news. And then you send it out. So I did that. I sent 52 of them out. 2 weeks later, Yuma, Arizona called me. Everyone I worked with said it would take 6 months to a year. So I jumped on it. I left for Yuma. I was there 3 years. Then I went to Bakersfield.
What was that like?
It was horrible. Really? There's nothing to do there. Yuma. Nothing. And you're so poor. I mean, I was making $9 an hour. I remember having 30 cents. But you're a
reporter on TV?
Yes.
You're a reporter on TV making $9 an hour.
Yes. And just so you know, that was 10 years ago, and that's probably the same pay.
Oh my God.
Like our industry doesn't really adjust with inflation very much because so many people want to do this that it's like they kind of have to weed people out.
I honestly almost feel like the state capital is like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So many people want to, you know, so many people want to like work there.
Yeah.
You know, they've got, not me. I mean, I was, I'm talking about like really highly educated people. You get mm-hmm. you get PhDs.
Yeah.
And lawyers.
And what are they paying them?
60.
Oh, geez. When they could be making like 3 times that. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So that's kind of
how. But they got so many people that want to do that.
Well, yeah. And so, Yuma 3 years. And then I took the job in Bakersfield because it was a duopoly, CBS and Fox. So I knew it was similar to how Good Day is. And so I did that for 2 years. And then I knew someone was going on maternity leave here at Good Day.
Yeah.
I still kept in touch with everyone. So that helped put my resume tape together. And so they said, hey, she's leaving on maternity leave. Like, you should try and, you know, see if you can do this. Come out and freelance. And I was like, okay. And so I did. And, yeah, and then a couple months later, they offered me a position. And here I am. This Saturday will be 5 years.
5 years. Wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty crazy.
I hope they're getting you cake or something in the office.
They won't even know.
You are all put on notice now. You guys better do something nice for her.
I'm sure I will post something. Just because that's a bit, you know, it's a big deal. 5 years is kind of a long time.
And so as soon as you got to Yuma,
yeah,
you're like, I got to get the heck out of here.
Well, no, because you're terrible on air. I mean, you're just terrible and you don't know what you're doing and you're scared. You know, people ask me like, oh, are you nervous? Now it's like, no, this is like my 9-to-5 job. Like, this is nothing to me. But in the beginning, you're scared and you don't. You're not comfortable, and I was working at Good Day where they made it look easy. So I thought it would be easy, and it's not.
Got it.
And some people have like natural talent, and they just get up and they're just confident and they do their thing. And that was not me. I needed to go to Yuma and I needed to go to Bakersfield. And I had a boss in Bakersfield, Doug, who would pull me in his office and we would watch every one of my segments.
Oh, wow.
And he was like,
Like a mentor, like a coach.
Totally. And I did not get that in Yuma. I didn't have somebody who was like, hey, let's make this better. So I really needed that in Bakersfield. And I believe that if I had not had him, his guidance, because that's what I remember when I was telling you have to listen to the interview. Yeah. I did this segment in Thanksgiving. And the guy was like, yeah, so you could like put the flowers in the nuts. And he's like, or you could like put the flowers in the balls. And I wasn't listening to him. And so Doug went back and watched that. And he's like, Cambie, what are you doing? He's like, you're so funny. He's like, but nobody's getting to see that because you're in your head.
You're too nervous.
You're not even that you're nervous. You're like, you don't want dead air. So in my head, I don't even care how he answers the question. I just am thinking, what's my next question going to be? And you can't do that. So after that, I was like, okay, I need to listen because.
Take one moment.
Exactly. Yeah, and you can take a breath. I mean, people aren't going to be like, what the heck?
Well, shit, how am I doing?
Yeah, you're great.
Okay.
You, I think dead air, people worry about dead air way more than they really should. Because some people, it'll be like 3 seconds, they're like, oh my gosh. But as a viewer or a listener, I don't really notice that.
Okay.
So my producers would not like that.
Yeah.
Though they'd probably be like, Cambie, what the heck? But for me, like as a viewer or a listener, I don't really notice it that much.
Got it.
So
what was Bakersfield like? Like you were trying to wrestle your way back to Sacramento, basically?
You know what? I loved Bakersfield.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would actually go back there.
Would you really?
Yeah, I just love the people. It was like the first moment where I would like go to the bathroom and whoever I was with, like someone would come over and they'd be like, oh my gosh, like we love Cambie. Like it was so, they were just so cool. Nice that's to so me. Tender. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So it's like my mom one time had my dog and someone was like, oh my gosh, like is that Polly Pocket? Like they just know you and they, I don't know, they just embraced me.
It's a very friendly community.
So friendly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
no, you know, it's actually not a, it's not a bad little town. We're going, Haley and I are going, that's probably the next trip that we're going
to Bakersfield.
Yeah.
Okay. We need to stay at the Padre Hotel and you have to go to Luigi's. Have cravings. They're not open at dinner.
Okay.
So you have to go lunchtime.
Okay.
And I, to this day, have cravings for Luigi's. It's so good. Like sometimes I'm just like, could I just drive there and get Luigi's and then just come back home? And it's so good.
It's like Italian, it's like pizza or something?
Yeah, it's okay. Italian. I don't really think they have pizza, but they've been there for over 100 years.
Yeah.
So they're doing something right.
Yeah, so we're going to go for the CIF State Wrestling Championships.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We're just going to go check it out.
They have really good wrestlers in Bakersfield, too.
They have really good athletes.
Yes. Yeah. The Carr brothers.
Yeah.
I mean, and just like good-natured, not all thinking that they're amazing, just humble people. I think that's like the best thing I could say about Bakersfield. The people are just great.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, quickly speaking about Italian food.
Yeah.
I just heard Zelda shutting down.
Okay. So I think there's been drama with that for a while.
Can you tell us what's going on?
Okay, I don't know.
100%. Zelda's in the distillery?
Okay. I heard that. Remember there was a temporary time when it was called like Z Pizza?
Yeah.
A while ago. Yeah, there was something going on with the family and they were fighting. This is like the rumors that I heard.
Okay.
So, like I would never report this on the news, but I feel like, you know, just like.
Well, I am not a journalist.
Talking with friends, it's like, yeah, I heard that there was like some family drama. And so to avoid that happening, they changed it to Z Pizza. Then it went back to Zelda. So maybe the family drama got worked out. But now what's going to be in that space? And should we open up our own pizza spot there? Because I feel like we should.
Hebe and Cambie's pizza parlor.
And we'd only serve cheese pizza because that's my favorite.
I think you mean only pepperoni. I think you mean only pepperoni. No, I'm just teasing.
We would have to serve like everything. I think
you mean only pepperoni.
Oh, really? That's all you like?
That's all I like. Yeah.
See, we're so boring.
I heard that the Zelda's folks own the distillery also, and they're both shutting down. This is, I read this in a comment.
What's the distillery?
You don't know the distillery? Oh my gosh.
Okay, I'm sorry. When you say distillery, I'm thinking like a place that's like making alcohol. You're talking about the distillery, that huge bar.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so place. My friend said she saw that on sale on Craigslist.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was like, get out.
This is happening.
That was like months ago.
I just saw something on Facebook that maybe they're shutting down. Distillery and Zelda's, you guys are invited to tell us what's actually going on.
Yeah, I want to know.
I want to know because those are two of my favorite places, actually.
Really? What would they? They could do big things with the distillery.
Yeah, it's a big spot.
It's huge.
It's a big, big spot. People love their karaoke.
Yeah.
I go in there on Friday and Saturday nights. It's usually pretty, kind of pretty good crowd. I can't imagine they're not making a buck, but I guess that could be the case.
I wonder what the rent there is like.
Right, I feel like
all the rent in
Sacramento is going up. I feel like whatever, if it does shut down and something new comes up, I feel like whatever it is going to be like some hoity-toity, like highfalutin.
You're probably right.
You know, we don't need that. There's been a lot of that. There's been so much of that, like opening up right now. It's like
that's funny because I always tell people, I'm like, I need to marry someone who can meet the mayor and go to a dive bar. Like you have to run the gamut. Like you can't just.
Yeah,
I don't know the hoity-toity thing. I mean, it's good occasionally, but not all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I love a good, like, charity event.
Right.
People nice, who can nice afford gala. To be there. Yeah. But I also am, like, not mad at the distillery.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
The smells like smoke. The smoke just, like, lingers. It is.
That's kind of its appeal.
Yeah.
Speaking of the mayor's invited to come on the podcast. We'll see if he's able to make it on.
Okay.
He's the next sort of big guest.
That's really big.
Hey.
He'll come. I think he'll come.
Yeah. It seems right up his alley.
Yeah. He's like a mayor of the people.
He is a mayor of the people. Yeah. So when you made it to Good Day,
yeah.
Did you feel kind of like, I've made it?
Oh my gosh. I said that my song was like Kelly Clarkson, A Moment Like This. And so it was December 2nd, which happened to be my mom's birthday. It was a Sunday. I was supposed to start on Monday, but there was a big storm. So they asked me to start a day early. And my granddaddy called my mom and said...
Were they asked you to start a day early to like cover the storm?
Yeah.
How miserable is that, standing out in the rain?
It's not terrible.
No.
As long as there's like something going on, like there were trees down and flooding and you feel like you're doing a service to the people. But when I like the hood on, and really I only have the hood on because it rained like 3 drops and ruined my hair, and you're like, it's raining, like then you feel kind of dumb because you're just trying to tell people what they should look out for. And like, sometimes there's not a lot of
weather. Hey, stay the heck off of Power Inn. Exactly. Like there's down trees and it's a madhouse.
Yeah. It's like
that really is a public service. I mean, that really is. Like, I
there have been twice when the freeway has been shut down, and I'll see people tweeting out, and it's on the weekend, and they'll be like, oh my gosh, like, I'm stuck in traffic. It's been 3 hours, and nobody has moved. And I'm like, well, you should have been watching Good Day, because we told you about that traffic. Twice this has happened.
Yeah.
So it's like, people, if they would have known, they wouldn't have gone that way, and it would have saved them hours.
Yeah. Is there a hierarchy of sort of, like, assignments, like the person out there in the rain is maybe the lower on the totem pole and the person in studio's higher, or maybe one's higher and the other's lower, or does it matter? Like,
okay,
is there one job that's more coveted than the others?
Okay. Well, usually if you're at the anchor desk, you're making more money. Number one. Number two, if you are like the person who's out in the snow, tends to be like the low man on the totem pole. First of all, you're going to have a longer day than everyone because you had to get in early to get out there and then you still have to drive back. So that in itself is kind of like, oh, you're a low man on the totem pole. But also on the flip side, it's like when those fires were happening, remember when like all of California was on fire?
Yeah.
They called me and they were like, you need to get in right now. But except I didn't get the call because I was in the shower. And I don't, my natural thing isn't to check my phone. Like right when I wake up, it's like you wake up and I'm in go mode, like get in the shower, get out. It's like quick.
Yeah.
And you're not thinking. And so, because it's early. So anyway, I'd missed their calls. My photographer just showed up at my house to take me to the fires. Goodness. And we worked, I think, like a 14 or 15 hour day that day. But it's like, I'm not in studio, which is like a more like prominent position. But at the same time, like I'm in like...
You're getting more FaceTime, right?
Probably. Well, not really. But you're like in the thick of everything. And it's like, that's where I want to be because I care about the stories and I want to know what's happening. And, you know, so I guess it's like how you judge it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like what's most rewarding to you.
Yeah. And also, a lot of people are, like, weird about their, like, FaceTime.
Really?
Or whatever. Yeah, and I don't care about that.
What do you mean by that? Like, they have to get a certain amount of FaceTime?
Yeah, they prefer more. There are some people who are divas and a lot who are not.
I'll bet.
The Good Day crew, and honestly, every station that I've worked at, I've been really fortunate that I've never worked with divas. And there are, I mean, men can be divas too.
Oh, no, I am a diva. I'm a diva.
Women are very cutting in this industry. And I've been so fortunate that I've only worked, for the most part, I can think of one person who wasn't as, but for the most part,
tell us all who that is?
Everybody. No, but
that's okay.
She doesn't work at the station any longer. So I don't have to worry. But for the most part, they want to rise you up instead of
kind of cut you down. Beat you down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's some like saying that just because someone else's light is shining doesn't mean yours isn't as bright.
Yeah.
And it's like you have, I mean, we should all be encouraging each other to be our best selves in general.
Yeah. You know, and then also sort of like, where do you get your identity from and what makes you happy? Like, there's sort of all these different facets of your personality. And I think especially like, you know, young, ambitious people can get caught up in, you know, is my career on track? Is my social, am I hanging out with the type of people I want to hang out with?
Yeah.
All those sort of things on paper, you know, then you can kind of like lose a little bit of yourself in that rat race, you know? One of my favorite UFC fighters is this guy, Dominic Cruz. He has this
Didn't he just recently fight?
Yeah. Yeah. He just recently got beat up by, our local guy, Cody No Love. Cody No Love Garbrandt.
Wasn't the guy who was really running his mouth?
He's really running his mouth.
That's what and I he thought. Got, I'm sorry, I'm going to take my...
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
My mom like hates this sweater that I'm wearing, by
it's
the way.
Gorgeous.
Anytime, it's gorgeous. No, the jacket she likes. It's the sweater. So I was like, let me keep the jacket on because she doesn't like this sweater.
No, it's a cute sweater.
I don't know. It's like polka dots and stripes. I think she thinks it's like too much.
I think it's totally cute.
So,
sorry, Mom. No, so he ran his mouth and he got beat up pretty badly.
Yeah. But this is the guy you like.
This is the guy I like. He actually, he has this saying. It says you can be a host to God or a hostage to your own ego.
Oh, I like that. Which
is profound, right?
Yeah.
And he had this other quote. And said, he'd been injured for 4 years. He had to relinquish his championship because he couldn't defend it because he'd been injured for so long.
Right.
And so after his 4 years of coming back from successive ACL injuries, an MMA reporter asked, he's all beat up in the face. He'd just gone through hell to get his championship back. And a reporter asked him, hey, would you say this is the greatest night of your life? He says, no. He says, the greatest night of my life was when I realized I didn't need a championship to be happy.
Oh, that's great.
And that
probably does take a lot of soul searching, because all of a sudden he goes from being like super recognized and super well known to then.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I'll tell you who else is these elected officials. After they term out of office, everyone wants to call them. Everyone wants to hang out. And then all of a sudden you're no longer in office.
Yeah.
You realize you have like 1/8 of the actual friends that you thought you had.
That does have to be hard.
Yeah.
It's probably for TV people too, when they like leave the industry. Spend more time with their family. That's what people say.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, what would I say? Because I have like my dog. I'm like, well, my dog was really complaining and she felt like she needed to see me more. So
I gotta spend some time with her. My dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a buddy of mine who, he tells me he literally like gets upset if he didn't perform well in sparring.
Oh.
And he's chasing.
He like eternalizes it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's like chasing. He wants to be. He's gonna be at the top of the sport. He's a very talented.
Well, everyone wants to be the best in anything they do, right?
Yeah, but he's got this thing right now where like if he doesn't like kill it in practice, he's like depressed until he does.
Oh,
and I was telling him, I was like, dude, you're setting yourself up for.
Yeah,
you're gonna find what you're looking for, but because you're internalizing all these things.
You know what somebody told me that the secret to relationships is low expectations.
No,
isn't that funny? But also kind of true.
I'll bet, yeah.
So, like, my friend the other day was like, yeah, my man, like, never buys me any gifts. I'm like, we should have low expectations. Don't expect any gifts. And then when he gives you one, you'll be like, oh, my gosh. You know? So, I think I saved their relationship.
There you go. So, hey, I've had this happen with just, like, podcast guests where, like, they come, the appointment comes for them to come over. And I'm just like, fuck, I'm not feeling it, But you got to kind of. You kind of got to get on camera and sort of make it happen. Now, you do work at like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And so I'm just imagining, 3:30 in the morning comes, 3 o'clock in the morning comes, you wake up, you're not feeling great.
Yeah.
You're like, I gotta get on camera and
so what's weird is if you want to call in sick, you have to call in sick like the night before. So some days it's like you're kind of on the fence and you're just like, I got to call out because you just don't know how you're going to feel the next morning. And it's not like I can throw my hair in a ponytail and be like, wearing sweats and come into work.
No, you got to look. You got to look good and be camera ready.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
How long does that take?
What, to get ready?
Yeah.
I mean, I can do it in like 10 minutes.
Okay.
But I'm saying like it just takes a lot of energy.
Oh, okay.
To like get up at that hour, and if you're already like kind of not feeling good, it's just not the best.
Yeah. You ever go in there and be like, oh man, maybe I should have stayed home.
Yeah. Sometimes. And they're really nice about it. It's like, maybe sometimes you put in like 4 hours and you're like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
So there's like been a sickness going around too. And I just feel like I keep getting it and then not having it and then getting it. It's like, it's never fully gone away.
Yeah.
So
what do you do for fun?
Gosh, I don't know. Probably I spend time with Patrick. I do, like, I try and say yes to emceeing like all kinds of things, like if people want to do that. So yeah, so that's fun. Gosh, does, you know what's sad is like I also feel like at this hour my brain is kind of fried.
Oh no.
Where it's like if you ask me at like probably like 9 a.m. is like my peak moment because I've been up for like 5 hours.
Oh,
but like at noon, if people are emailing me, like sometimes I'll look and I'm just like, that sentence doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, I would probably say like going out with my friends. I have a 71-year-old neighbor, Gloria, who I adore. So sometimes I'll go over there with her. We'll like go walk the dogs.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't have like a ton of downtime really.
Yeah.
Like I'm stay pretty busy.
Yeah.
So
what's, So this will be the last question since I've had you here for a little bit, okay?
Okay. It's getting my bedtime.
Sorry about that. We are the Farm to Fork capital.
Yes.
What was the last great thing you ate or drank here in town?
Oh. Okay, off the top of my head, I'm going to say Amaro.
Is it the new Italian spot?
It's in the R Street.
It's on the R
District. In the wall building.
Yeah, yeah. I had a happy hour there. I got their bruschetta or something.
Gosh, I can't even remember. I was thinking of their olives that I had, but there was something else that I had that was so good too. We just got like a bunch of appetizers.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I was pretty impressed with them.
Very cool.
And the service was great too.
Yeah, no,
that's huge.
They're like really appealing just to look at from the outside. It looks like a really nice ambiance in there. And I've been in there. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So if you're in the R Street District, make sure to check out Amaro.
Oh, before we end this, what's your feelings on you habla español?
Hablo español. Es mi primer idioma. Hablamos español en casa con la familia.
Oh, muy bien. Yeah. Vallejos, what's your feeling on there? You like it or? Because you're by the capital.
Yeah, yeah.
So I figured you would go
the
there.
The one right by the capital.
Yeah. Do you prefer the other one?
So that's a controversial subject for some people. No, I like the one by the capital.
Me too.
I like the one by the capital. If you gotta like sneak out and just have a margarita real quick.
I just adore the owner, Art. He's great.
Yeah, yeah. I love Vallejos. I love their chips.
Yeah.
They actually appropriately salt their chips.
Totally. I totally agree. You don't have to add.
Yeah.
Yes.
They
okay,
put some salt on their chips. Go
ahead. Where's
your
like authentic Mexican food? Because I'm like very weird about that.
Yeah.
Has to be like authentic beans. That's huge.
I like Sal's in West Sacramento.
Oh my gosh. Sal's is really good.
Yeah. No one knows. Every time I take someone there, they're like, oh my God, this place. And the tile, the mosaics
are
gorgeous.
I love that. And it's so close to the station. That was like a spot for people.
And then Rick's Hacienda.
Oh, I haven't been there.
We all have to go. That's the karaoke spot.
Time out. I remember you saying that. Yeah. And it's like in like land, not
it's on
land park.
Fruit Ridge and Martin Luther King.
Okay. We need to go there. Like seriously.
We should go at like, we should get a group of folks to go.
Okay.
And
ask Patrick because Patrick is like the wrangler.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we should do like dinner at like 7.
Okay.
And they start the karaoke up at 8.
Okay. Love.
And after a little bit, we can just get out of there.
That's good because I have a bedtime. So perfect. I like that you're like, we're going to start early at 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay.
You know, by the way, Rick's Hacienda,
yeah.
You want to take a guess at how many Facebook likes they have?
Oh.
18,000.
I was going to guess 13,000.
Yeah, that's kind
of
awesome.
That's really good.
I was impressed.
Yeah, I'm impressed too.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to go.
Yeah, next time you're on Fruit Ridge, make sure you stop by Rick's Hacienda. Where can people find you on Twitter?
Oh, my first and last name. Everything in my first and last name. That's the benefit. That's why you name your kids weird names. Because I have a common last name. Think about if my name was like Stephanie. Yeah. Stephanie Brown, how many are those out
so
there?
So you'd have to be like Stephanie Brown, like 8 million.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like, I could just use my first and last name for everything.
All right. Cammie Brown on Twitter, make sure to give her a follow.
Yay.
If you want to know what's going on.
Thank you for having me.
Traffic. Thanks so
fun.
Much for coming on.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again. Hey, I think that went well.
Yeah, that was great. What is this? What is